Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
This program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Perth, Ontario. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today, my theme is the glory of the cross. The Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but rather a new creation." You can find this great moving text in the 6th chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, verses 14 and 15. Here now are the Donmar Singers with a well-known gospel song, "It Is Well With My Soul." What or who, ultimately, is Lord of our lives? That is the bottom line. That is the one question St. Paul's letter to the Galatians asks. And it is the question that the cross of Jesus puts to us. Ultimately, what is it that matters? Who calls the tune in our lives? What or who is the authority in our lives? In the opening chapter of Galatians, Paul asks a question that could be put to any of us. Why are you turning away so soon from him who called you to a different gospel? The churches of Galatia, or at least some of the Christians in them, were turning back to the law. Many of these Christians were Jewish, and in order to avoid persecution at the hands of Jews who hadn't become Christian, some of those Jewish Christians were going back to the practice of circumcision. Even Peter the Apostle, even some Gentile Christians were being compelled to be circumcised. St. Paul saw this for what it was, a return to bondage to the law. Rules and regulations cannot sanctify us. We cannot be put right with God or grow in God by following the legalisms of the law. The law had its place, certainly, to reveal God, to reveal the holiness of God, to reveal the demands of God, to reveal the need for salvation. But only God's grace, working through the cross, can save and sanctify. To go back to the law will only confuse people. It will make them think that there is something they can add to their salvation. It can lead them to speculate that perhaps there is a deficiency in Christ and in his cross. No, cried St. Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. And at the end of this magnificent epistle, St. Paul takes the pen from his secretary's hand and writes the concluding paragraph himself, in larger letters for emphasis. He says, only those who want to make a pretentious display from the merely human point of view are trying to compel you to be circumcised. But their real objective is to avoid persecution because of the cross of Christ. They force the law upon you, but they can't even keep the law themselves. They simply want to put you in bondage to the law so they can boast about it to the religious community of the Jews. But these are only outward and human rituals. There is only one thing worth boasting about, and that is the cross and the primacy of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and the new life in him which you have already tasted. Let's break in here and listen to Johnny Cash singing "The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago."
Well, there was a time on earth when in the books of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago. Long ago,
I settled it all.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah.
And the record's clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Well, the old account was large and growing every day. And I was always sinning, and I never tried to pray. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, well, I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago. Long ago,
I settled it all.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Now, sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sins, 'cause this he has commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, well, you know you got it settled, 'cause you settled it long ago, long ago. Long ago,
I settled it all.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. and the old account was settled long ago.
Returning now to our message, let us consider the challenges and the temptations every Christian has to face. There is the challenge and temptation of wanting to escape from persecution, or if not persecution physically, then ridicule. No one likes to be ridiculed. No one likes to be looked down upon. No one likes to be ostracized for what they think or believe. So what do? We are tempted to make allowances, to soft-pedal our convictions, to go back on our promises, in school, on the job, in the community, in every place we find ourselves. There are those who will ask embarrassing questions about our faith. Do you really believe Christ is the only Savior? But what about others? Aren't they sincere in their religion? Aren't you a bit fanatical about Jesus? Or, I hear that you live by a strict moral code. How can you do that in today's liberal climate? Isn't it asking a bit much of people? Surely people have a right to their liberty. And so you or I are made to feel as though we are raving fundamentalists. Anyone who tries to be and remain faithful is branded a zealot. Narrow, bigoted, dangerous even. Like the American professor of sociology who warned recently of the 50 million Bibles sent by churches to Russia. It's dangerous to let these evangelicals influence the next generation of Russians. They are going to make them evangelicals. So where does that leave you and me? What are we going to do about this ridicule, this verbal persecution? Be influenced by it? Go along with it? Give in a little? St. Paul says, remember the gospel you first received. Remember how it has set you free. It has made new men and new women of you. You have discovered true equality in Christ Jesus. You have learned to live and walk in the Spirit. You are heirs of a whole new world. Don't jeopardize your place in the kingdom of God for a mess of pottage. Don't give in to cultural blackmail and media pressure. Live for Christ alone, and let Christ live in you. Let Christ continue to reign in your life. There is the challenge or temptation to think that you and I can improve on God's purpose and plan, improve on God's method and objectives. We hear the gospel, we accept the gospel, we live by the gospel, and then someone suggests, but is that all there is to it, to receive God's grace and walk in it? Surely we have to do something. Surely we have to earn it, be worthy of it, add to it. Resurrection's good, but what about reincarnation? Forgiveness is good, but what about doing something big with your life to pay God back? Prayer is good, but what about a little bit of astrology to get a clearer picture of where your life is going? Faith is good, but shouldn't we be going a little deeper into things, studying world religions to see how other people have come to see God? That's exactly what the Judaizers in Galatia, in Paul's day, wanted to do. They wanted to add circumcision to one's basic devotion or commitment. That is, to improve their salvation. Of course, we should know about some of these things, but not to improve one's salvation. How can you improve that when you are already in tune with God through the very means He has sent, the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth, in whom the whole fullness of God was pleased to dwell? We can hardly improve on God. We can't improve on Christ. We can't improve on the Holy Spirit. We need to realize that all the riches of God are already in our hand, in our possession. We need to rejoice and boast and glory in what we already possess, Paul says, by grace, of course. There is the challenge or temptation to think that when we add something to our faith, when we make our addition, we'll be better off, happier, more successful, more powerful. This is a common teaching in the world today. People are making big money telling other people how to live powerfully by opening up their own potential. It is called power living, power influencing, power selling. The basic assumption is that when you and I open up the inner resources of our own personalities and capabilities, we will become top achievers. So people fall for the bait. But I have yet to hear people advocating power serving. No one seems interested in doing what Albert Schweitzer did, or Jean Vanier, or Mother Teresa. Haven't they been living powerful lives? Haven't they done some powerful things for others?
No, I'm afraid the power advocates are basically selfish, self-centered on ego trips. They aren't interested in others. They are interested in themselves, primarily. And that is what the Judaizers were, advocating that all Christians be circumcised. They wanted to control the Christian churches of Galatia. That's what is happening in the church today, often. The power brokers in church establishments and educational centers want to add their own views to the gospel and so gain control of the church and its congregations. It doesn't matter what the views are. They are one thing today. They can be another thing tomorrow. Views and opinions come and go. What they want is control. They are the ecclesiastical power brokers of our era. But as a result of any or all of these temptations, to avoid persecution, to improve on God's plan, to engage in personal control, is anyone in the church happier or more effective as a Christian, or more Christ-like in faith and faithfulness? Of course not. In fact, to succumb to these temptations is to reduce one's faith, to lose the glory, to walk a different and a less certain road. We need to get back to the cross. This is what St. Paul says, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world." The first thing Paul wants us to see here is the divine nature of the cross. Viewed from the human point of view, the cross is an insignificant event in the history of the world's minor tragedies. There are such tragedies every day, in Bosnia, in Somalia, in South Africa, in Iraq, in downtown Ottawa. Good, decent people getting hurt, power blocks asserting their influence, governments turning their backs, individuals exerting their power. There have been a million and more crosses like that of Jesus in the history of man's inhumanity to man, and they won't stop. They are happening now in other parts of the world and right around the corner in our own country. And they will continue to happen until the raging tide of sin is turned and then stemmed. But the cross of Jesus, seen from the divine point of view, is something else. It is one of a kind. It is God's holy act for the salvation of the world, and it alone will eventually wipe out sin, every vestige of it. Because it is not simply the cross of one more Jewish peasant or prophet. It is the cross, the great apostle says, of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God in our midst. This is God acting for the salvation of the world. This is God reaching into the mind and heart of every man and woman and child and saying, "Do you understand the dilemma, the solution, the source? What man cannot do, can never do, hasn't a hope of doing, God has already done. It is finished," Christ cried from the cross. "The great transaction's done. This is God in action. It is God's way, and it is revolutionary," St. Paul could testify. "I once was an educated and religious murderer," he said. "Now my life is turned around. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you are too, you Galatians, and you are too, you Christians in Ottawa and the national capital region and within the sound of my voice." And by the cross, the world is crucified to us. According to Scripture, creation is good because it is the product of God's creative genius. But the world is creation gone bad. That is why the world had to be loved by God. That is why the prince of this world had to be conquered and cast out. The power of the world has to be broken because the world is a fallen world. It is a world that is at enmity with God. The world does not know God. The world is spiritually contaminated. The world is passing away. The world needs to be overcome and has been overcome by Christ. The world ensnares, it traps and seduces the unsuspecting. It gets the unsuspecting to think in its terms, to walk in its ways, to adopt its values. But, says St. Paul, "in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is crucified to me." The world no longer has control over us. The world can no longer write the agenda for our lives. The world has begun to give up its prisoners. Be free of the world. Don't go back into slavery. And by the cross, I am crucified to the world, Paul says. The Bible says we need a heart transplant, and in Jesus we have it, and in our hearts lie our egos. The ego needs to die, and in the cross we learn to die to ourselves and to live to God. When you see Christ on the cross and know that it is for you that he is hanging there, you can either turn away and follow your own path, or you can die with him. Christians are people who are baptized into his death. Only when we die to ourselves can we die to sin. He who has died to himself is free from sin, Paul wrote. Have you died to yourself? Is your heart crucified? Do you belong to the world, or do you belong to Jesus Christ? Completely. Does your life show it, or is there still a part of you seeking to dominate? It's time to go back to the cross. Now is the day of salvation, your salvation. It is the hour of salvation, perhaps someone listening today. Consider also the glory of the cross. The cross is not a human tragedy, but a divine victory. Therefore, let us not ultimately paint this scene in hues that are too somber. Let us see the glory of God in the cross, in the clouds of darkness, in the hammering of the nails, in the cry of dereliction. These are realities, but they are not the only realities, for the cross is full of love. It is the center of peace. It is the source of hope. It is the guarantee of joy. It can make a new person of you and me. It can give a church new purpose. It can take us beyond selfishness. It can break the habit of sin. It can fill us with a desire to be servants. It can turn the world around. So where is the cross in your life? Are you living in sin? Are you living in idolatry? Are you living with hatred and bitterness? Is your life a vacuum? Are you walking as God wants you to walk? Come to the cross. Let the cross break the hold the world has on you. Let the cross salvage your ego by bringing it under the supreme lordship of Jesus Christ. Let the cross change your life now and forever. Boast not in yourself or in the world, but in the cross of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thinking of the cross of Christ, listen now to the memorable words of Julia Ward Howe. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Boast not in yourself or in the world, but boast in the cross of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, your love is gracious and plentiful. We know that from your works of creation and providence, every blessing is evidence of your love. But more than this, when we consider the work of the cross and our crucified Savior, we are aware of overflowing grace from your heart of love and compassion. There is no greater love. Thank you, Father, for your overwhelming mercy. Amen. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with integrity and compassion. Before listening to our final piece of music, I want to thank you for your support, both in terms of prayer and your gifts. We cannot keep on the air each Sunday without your help. This program is now totally independent. We depend entirely on our listeners. If you are able, please send a check made out and addressed to Dominion Chalmers Church, 355 Cooper Street, Ottawa, Ontario, K2P OG8, marking it Good News Broadcast. Our good friends at Dominion Chalmers will send you a receipt and make sure your contribution gets to this radio station. Thank you so much. Now, to conclude our program, here are the messengers singing When I Think of the Cross. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your hearts. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
timbers were raised to the sky. There hung a man suspended in space, and though he was blameless, they left him to die. Just to think of the cross moves me now. The nails in his hand just bleeding round. To think of the cross moves me now. It should have been me. It should have been me. Instead I am free. My guilt and despair turned bitter hating to sweet peace and love. Even the men that put him up there were offered forgiveness and life from above. Just to think of the cross moves me now. The nails in his hands. Think of the cross moves me now. It should have been me. It should have been me. Instead I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.